Our scripture passage this morning is Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Matthew 4, 5 through 7. If you would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest points of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Over this past 7 months, I've had the joy to learn what it's like to be a father and to become a father to Phoebe. I can remember the first time seeing her there after she was born, kind of her body taking its first breath and kind of her skin turning into a more normal color from the paleness that it is when you're first born and you haven't breathed oxygen yet through your own lungs. And I can remember holding her there on my chest for the first time just a few minutes after she was born, and she was kind of shivering a little bit. And after the nurse put a few blankets on and she warmed up, she kind of nuzzled up to me, and there's a bond there that happens pretty quickly. And it's one that, if you are a parent, you probably know doesn't go away over time, but strengthens itself over time. That your love for your child gets stronger with each day. That as they hit those milestones, maybe that first time they slept through the night, or the first time they sat up on their own, or rolled over, or crawled, you as a parent are cheering them on each step of the way because you love them and you want to see the best for them, and you know that nothing will be able to get in between the love that you have with your child. That yes, I'm sure one day Phoebe will grow up and she'll have her own opinions about things that might be different from my opinions on things, and there might be some disagreements there at some point, or as all teenagers do, they might go the opposite of what you as a parent would hope for them. But the love is still there. The love that grows with each day is still there, and they're still your child, and you're still their parent. That relationship is there until one of you passes from this life. And hopefully, as a parent, you instill a sense of worth to your child, not only because of what they give to you, but just because they are your child. That they don't have to do anything to earn your love. You love them from the first moment you got to hold them in your hands, and nothing can change that. That they don't have to go out of their way to make sure that they attend to your needs, because that's not how the relationship works. That you love your child regardless of what they do in life, even though you may not agree with it. You don't have to prove, or your child doesn't have to prove, that you love them through their actions or through what they say. In our lives, there are some relationships where we might feel the need to prove our worth. When we are in the workplace, We might want to prove ourselves to our boss a little bit by making sure we turn in those assignments on time, or if we had a task to do, making sure that that's done well and put in on time, so that you might climb that corporate ladder. And there's a sense of pride that we can take in that as well. That's, I'm at this company, I'm showing my worth, I'm giving to it and seeing the fruit of my labor in this place. And that's all a good thing, unless we take that too far. And before you know it, we're trying to prove ourselves just so that we have our own sense of self-worth. That can kind of go astray if, for some reason, you were to get laid off from that job, and then your sense of worth and identity is no longer in you because you placed all of your worth, your identity, who you know yourself as, in your work. So if you don't have that work anymore, then you don't have that sense of identity or sense of worth in this life. So there does have to be a balance in some of our relationships, that yes, we need to strive in it and make sure that our worth is seen, but to not allow that to become our identity. The same in our personal relationships as well. We can take the husband and wife relationship. It's one whom over time we begin to love and to grow in that love each day. And we want to do those good things to show our spouse that we love them. We maybe go out of the way when they're having a bad day to try and help them out with a few things or encourage them in some way. But if we see our worth as being in that relationship, or our identity as being that married person to our spouse, and then when they pass away from this life, or there's a division in that relationship, we may not feel like we're worth much any longer, that we can't see ourselves without seeing our spouse. Our passage this morning deals with the second temptation that Satan gives to Jesus. The first one being that after those 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus was hungry, that Satan came to him and said, hey, why don't you turn some of these stones into bread so that you might have some nourishment and eat it? The temptation there was to use his power not for the good of those he came to serve, but as a self-serving use of his power. The second one now has to do more with Jesus' identity. Just to give you some context about what's going on here in Matthew, Jesus goes into the wilderness for these 40 days for this time of testing, right after he was baptized by John the Baptist. So this is at the very beginning of his ministry. He's just gotten baptized. And if you remember that story, Jesus hears something. Here's a voice from heaven who says to him, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. God from heaven, as he's being baptized by John the Baptist, says, this is my son whom I am well pleased. Then Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days and goes through this testing. What does the devil say to him in this second test? He says, if you are really the Son of God, throw yourself off the temple. The angels will catch you so that your foot may not touch the ground. Satan is trying to get in between a father Father and His Son, to break up that relationship that they have. That Jesus, if You're really God's Son, prove it to me. I want to be able to see it in all of its glory and power in a visible way. So He takes them up to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point on the temple. And Josephus, a historian that we have that wrote about this time and period in Jewish history, said that the temple was this point of the temple was 180 feet high, or what would be about an 18-story building today. So Jesus is way up there, highest point. And Satan tempts Him to test the relationship that He has with God. That if You are really the Son of God, then God will come and deliver you. You need to test that relationship to make sure that God really cares for you. Got to see what's happening there under what Satan says. It's not Jesus testing God to see if He will be saved. Jesus already knows that He's deeply loved by His Father, and that the Father would do anything for His Son, just as any earthly parent would do whatever they can humanly possible for their child. But Satan wants to get in there and seed some doubt in Jesus. He wants to physically see some miraculous act from God to try and get Jesus to maybe start questioning that relationship that He has with the Father. This testing is about proving that relationship that He has. It's all about proving your identity through action. If Jesus is truly the Son of God, then He can jump off of this and God will save him and nothing will be wrong. It's showing that relationship through action. We might be tempted to do that today, that show our relationship through action. Maybe you've heard someone say, well, if you're truly a Christian, prove it to me. Act in some way according to what they've read in Scripture. Or maybe it's the flip side of that. Can you really be a Christian if you act a certain way or you vote this way? And I don't see how you can be a Christian that way. So you've got to prove it to me in some way that you truly are one of God's children. Putting the onus on us to make sure that we are in right standing with our Father in heaven. It's getting deeper into our relationship with Him, trying to break it up in a way that starts to question, well, are we really children of God? I haven't seen God work in some miraculous way in my life, so is He really there? Once you start to question that, it becomes easy to question even more things, and before you know it, you might be out in the wilderness yourself wondering, is God really there in my life? And maybe you've gone through periods of like this. But what Satan's doing here, what he does in this passage, is twisting God's word. He actually quotes from Psalm 91 here as he says, the angels will save you so that not even your foot may touch the ground. But he's taking that verse out of context and he's twisting it a bit to make it fit here. But what Psalm 91 really says is that you don't need to trust God, or you don't need to test God or his ways, because you already know that he deeply cares for you. You already know that he cares for you so much that he would not let you be harmed through any trial or temptation. Jesus responds again with scripture, just like he does in the first one. The first temptation of turning those stones into bread, he says, "Man does not live on bread alone, but by the word of God." That's a quote from Deuteronomy, when the Israelites were in the desert being fed by God's manna. This one, again, comes from that same context, but this time in Exodus, I believe it's 16. And Jesus, again, responds by saying, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." The context of that verse that he's quoting is the Israelites, again, in the desert, asking for a sign of God's presence in their life over the 40 years that they're in the wilderness. And looking back at it, it may seem like, why do they need a sign of God's presence in their life? They're the Israelites in the wilderness. They're being fed manna each morning by God. The quail come as well. You've got that pillar of smoke during the day and the pillar of fire at night leading them around the wilderness. What more would they need to see God at work in their lives to know that he's there with them? But it's easy to want to see God work in miraculous ways, to know that he's there with us. That even though we've seen God at work in our life, maybe in small ways, even when God comes to us in our baptisms and says, "You are my chosen child, that my covenants that I made with Christ Jesus as he went to the cross," that all of that is for you. Sometimes, as his children, we still ask God for that miraculous sign. "God, would you prove that our relationship is there by making sure that whatever it is in life works out? God, could you prove, again, your love for me by taking away this ailment that I'm going through?" It'd be like your child saying, "Hey, mom or dad, could you prove your love to me by buying me this Lego as you're going through the store?" God doesn't need to prove his love for us, because he already has done that in Christ Jesus. God didn't need to prove his love to Jesus by catching him if he did jump off, because God already came to Jesus at his baptism and said, "This is my son in whom I delight, in whom I love, in whom I'm sent into this world to take on the sin and weight, the pain, the suffering, the death of everyone, so that I might draw all of my children into relationship with me." Your identity and worth isn't in what you can offer God. It's not through any miraculous intervention that you may have seen in your life, but your worth in God's eyes is through your identity as one of his children. That when we were baptized, we received the sign of baptism as a seal of what God promises to do in our life. And most of us here probably received the sign and seal of baptism when we were just a young infant, when we had nothing to offer Christ. But yet God comes down to us in his great love and offers us this relationship, this opportunity to live anew each day in him. And just as a child can do nothing to be loved more by their parent or less by their parent, there's nothing we can do in this life to earn more of God's love or to have that love lessen, because we are God's chosen children. That our identity is one of his redeemed, adopted sons or daughter. Our worth in life should come from that. First and foremost, we are a child of God. We are dearly loved by him in such a way that he sent his only son for us. That even though we may not see ourselves as worthy of that love, that our Father in heaven thought we were and acted upon that. Just as a parent loves their child, so God loves each one of us. Don't let Satan try to get in between the relationship you have with the Father. Don't let him sneak in and try to make you doubt that God loves you. Don't let Satan sneak in and try to have you start to question God's presence in your life. God is there, as any good parent is in a life of their child. And just like any good parent, God is there cheering you on, wanting to see you succeed in this life. And through Christ Jesus, he's made a way for us to do that with him. And just as any good child, they want, or we should want, to please our Father in heaven, to live in gratitude each day in response to the good gifts that he has given to us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Christ Jesus and for who he was as your only son sent into the world for us and for our salvation. And God, as we look over these passages, as we see Satan testing the relationship that you had with Jesus, trying to get in between that father-son relationship and to have him start to doubt and question your presence in his life. God, we pray that we might be aware of when Satan tempts us to doubt our relationship with you. When Satan tries to put that wedge in between us, we pray that we might be able to see that we might be able to work against it, to be constantly reminded that our identity is as your chosen children. God, may we know that our worth is found in that identity alone. There's nothing that we can do to remove your love from us. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.